It was one of those Sundays that the Spirit led me to a different path. As I was preparing these weeks before, and as a result of deeper reflection, I came in here the day after we had met with the district superintendent and came here as early, probably early in the morning. And I just knelt at this altar rail and asked, Lord, just reveal to me what you want me to say to the people of God after our hard conversations with the district superintendent last Thursday. And so this is where the word led me, or rather where the Spirit led me, to this letter of Paul in Colossians. And he wrote this text on AD 60 to 62, on his first imprisonment in Rome. This community of Colossae, which is in the modern day Turkey, was beset with so much troubles and challenges. And he wrote this particularly to a Christian community. A Christian community that is barely able to remain focused because they're faced with so much challenges from inside and outside. There's a religious syncretism, which is sort of kind of mix of religion at that time. And Paul wants them to remain focused on the sufficiency of Christ. He wants them to fix their eyes on Jesus and in Christ alone, because they can be pulled over from all different directions. And so Paul wrote this, not as a simple request, but really as a very strong admonition that if the church will remain strong and vibrant, they got to be steadfast in affirming the gift of being chosen people of God and coming up with these responsibilities of what this chosen people of God looks like. So let us come to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, it is no accident that you brought us here today, both in person and online. Help me be out of the way. And may your word speak to us with boldness, with integrity. And challenge us, O Father God, to put whatever we learn here today into action as we go out into the world. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The words from Paul's was launched as a promise. A promise that we are God's chosen ones. Think about that for a second. That you were not designed by accident. You were intentionally thought of. When you go to a store, how many of you have been to Walmart lately or to Food Lion? I'm sure you all have to do some groceries, right? You made a list of the things because you want to intentionally get those stuffs. And I'm not a big fan of big superstores. I'm staying away from Walmart nowadays because it's just crazy to get all these items in all different directions. But I'm using that as an image to communicate with you all the importance of this first instruction from Apostle Paul, that you are God's chosen. You were not picked by some being out there or some force out there. It was God who chose you. He was God who identified you. It was God who called you by his name. And because you are chosen one, this identity is very important. This identity should not be taken very lightly. This being chosen people of God runs from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I'm just going to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, when he says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his prized possession out of all peoples on the face of the earth." What that means is that you were selected and identified as chosen people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." In other words, what the Bible's trying to say to us is that you were grafted as Christian, as a family of God, and you belong. You belong to the family of God. And because of that, Paul launched us here the importance of putting on a new outfit, a new wardrobe that reflects our identity as God's chosen ones. Have you bought some new wardrobe lately? Or new outfit, or maybe bought a shirt, or maybe have received a gift lately? How many of us like to wear new things? Of course we love that, right? Paul used that metaphor. Clothing yourselves. You put on a new garment and you discard the old one. And he used this image, borrowing from baptismal rituals. In early Christian history, whenever someone is being baptized, they remove the old clothes and they put in a new garment. Most likely white garment, so that they can be worn. A baptized candidate can wear that for his or her baptism in the river. And I have seen that as well. So you probably have noticed there are those being baptized that wear new clothes, wear new garments. And that particularly traces back all the way from the early times. So when Paul says putting on clothes, that means we are putting this whole new garment to reflect our identity as God's chosen ones. And then in verse 12, he began to unpack, what does it look like to be God's chosen ones? And he mentioned at least five characteristics. We're going to quickly go over that. The first is compassion. Compassion. Compassion here, according to Paul, is more than just feeling sorry for someone else. It's being merciful. That's the word that transcribes in Greek word. Being merciful, recognizing the needs of others, and doing something about this. As I was talking with Jim Bizzell yesterday at the ER, he mentioned to me that when he called Joni immediately called some members of our church or neighbors in the community, in our church that are close by, and they stopped what they're doing and they went to see him to make sure he's going to get the ambulance so that they can get him to the hospital. I'm using that as one of the very recent example of what compassion looks like. And he was so grateful for those angels that have come and helped him. And then kindness. Apostle here used the word kindness that reflects God's kindness in his action to redeem the simple world through his son Jesus, as reflective on Romans chapter 2 verse 4 and Ephesians 2 7. This is the kind of kindness that is redemptive and reconciling kindness. This is not just simply random act of kindness by calling someone whenever someone is sick. But they are important as well. But this is much deeper than that. What Paul is trying to say here, a kind of kindness that is reconciliatory. There's healing and there's reconciliation there. And there's meekness, showing understanding and care for one another, deeply listening to what's happening to someone's life. And then patience. How many of us have patience or struggling with patience nowadays? Perhaps we've seen it in the road. People are getting less patience in driving. Patience here allows us to endure difficult situations and giving us strength to bear with one another. And of course, he mentioned humility, which is another important trait if we are claiming ourselves to be God's chosen people. We're living in a world that is so much focused on what I want. And I'm saying this with three fingers pointing on me. And that we have been so much thinking about ourselves, rather putting others before ourselves. So what Paul is trying to say here, this kind of humility must be reflective of what Christ had done on the cross. Because you cannot claim yourself to be God's chosen ones if you don't have humility. In other words, Paul is trying to say to us here, in order for us to have this gift of being God's chosen ones, we got to have a new creation. We got to give up our old nature and begin to embrace our new life in Christ. When he says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. Paul is saying to the Christian community in Colossians, and I believe he's saying this to us as well, we got to go and see ourselves at the mirror. One of the hardest parts is to see ourselves in the mirror. What is it that we have not done? What is it that is not reflective of Christ's character in us? Are we bearing all these qualities that can be seen in our lives today? And then in verse 13, he gave another instruction that combined the importance of bearing with one another and forgiving one another. He said this because the context of the Colossian community is so much filled with complaints. People are complaining on all sides. Don't we have it today in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhood, and even in our churches today? People are so easy to complain. And Paul is saying to the Christian community, you're not supposed to handle that with defensiveness or denial, but instead with grace and forgiveness. In fact, the Message version of this particular text on verse 13 read like this: be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. But let's face the fact, forgiveness is hard. Isn't it? Really? Forgiveness is hard. But yet it is one of the most essential qualities in our Christian life. Without forgiveness, no marriage can last. Without forgiveness, no family can stay together. Without forgiveness, there will be no communities and nations or even churches that can be sustained and thrive. Forgiveness is a necessary part of every relationship. That's why Martin Luther King says, and I quote, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. It's something that we have to do every day. And Paul is admonishing this thriving and struggling Christian community in Colossians. In order for you to steadfast and unify yourselves as a church, you got to bear with one another and forgive one another. For we all mess up. I mess up. We all imperfect. But because of Christ, we can be able to bear with one another. We can forgive one another. And in verse 14, as he wrapped these words and instruction, he said these words, that as God's chosen ones, we must clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This love is not a filial love. This is the Greek word agape, which means the sacrificial love of Christ on the cross. When Paul says these words, clothe yourself with love, he's saying, this is, if Christ can do this, if Christ can give up his life on the cross, why can't we exhibit that love to each other? No matter how we mess up, no matter how we failed each other. Paul is saying this to the struggling Christian community because that is the love that can hold this together. And isn't that what we need today? In verse 16, Paul admonishes the Christian community that because of that love, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Friends, don't we need peace of Christ? In one of the biblical commentaries of this book of Colossians, someone says that this peace is not just an inner peace. It is really a peace in the life of the community of sinners who were once estranged but have now been brought to life with God and in the company of one another. Church is imperfect. And we are all imperfect people. Your pastor is not perfect. Neither any one of us. But what holds us together is this peace of Christ that gives us something to hold on. It's like Paul is saying, it's going to work out regardless of your imperfection because Christ will be there at the middle of this relationship. And finally, he closes this instruction with a strong admonition in verse 17. Whatever you do, in word and in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. What a great way to close this letter. Closing a letter with gratitude is an antidote to divisiveness, to disunity, to complaining, to anything that is against what it means to be God's chosen people. And when Paul wrote this text, he's saying to the Christian community in the Colossians, above all else, have a grateful heart, always give thanks to the God, and always mention the name of the Lord Jesus. So friends, as we close the Word of God today, how are we as God's chosen ones? Are we bearing all the qualities and fruits that can be seen in our lives today? Is there any compassion or kindness or meekness or humility and patience that we have been exhibiting in our lives lately? Do we bear with one another? Are we forgiving each other? And finally, are we clothing ourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony? May these words pierce in our hearts today as we live our lives and go out into the world. There's so much that needs to be done, church. We need to close our ranks together and unify ourselves in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said.